Leafs Avalanche tonight. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's
Hello.
Up, Ray?
Just talking to Joe Bowen about Snoop as you guys were talking, and first thing he brought up is somebody's got to get cracking out there.
Good point. You know what? Let's play one of the clips so people, because it's kind of a troll job to the audience that we're. He was in the booth. It was L.A. Pittsburgh Saturday night,
and
I believe.
It was brilliant.
And this is just a portion of what went down.
Hands up! Oh, watch out! Oh, he stole on him. He fired on Cuz. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking, then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some. Drop the sticks, man. Let's get cracking, man. To the middle of the rink. Let's go. Number three wanted. I like that. Who was number three for us?
Dion Phaneuf.
Dion, go get cracking, Dion. Go get him, Dion. Get him, Dion. Move, Dion. Get out the way. Go get him. Go get him.
Still jarring with him.
All right. So, how do you look? How do you like as a professional, as a guy who's a color analyst? How would you break down the tape for Snoop?
Original. I think his analysis on the power play was perfect when he said, oh, somebody's got to want the money. Somebody's got to want the money. Like, how good is that? I just thought, for what they did, it was, I thought the whole thing was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like the guys were, you know, Alex Faust and Jimmy Fox were into it, and they just basically let him run with it. And, you know, when he brought out a couple of, oh, come on, nephews, when one stick broke, and I thought it was hilarious. If he wanted to come on our broadcast and fiddle around for 10 minutes, I think it would be hilarious.
Yeah, I'd fully support that, too.
I thought it was brilliant. I really did, because it was so fresh. Like, he knew nothing about hockey, but he was like, he kept asking numbers, like, who's that? Doughty. Oh, Doughty's my dog. I love that guy. Yeah. Like, Doughty. He was so funny. Like, it was.
Who's number three on our team? Who's number three for us? Oh, yeah.
And he's yelling at Jeff Carter, like, 77, you got to move that. I thought it was brilliant.
Now, they've, in a season of not much fun, they had some there.
Yeah,
and,
they did.
And it turned out, same with, as you said, Noodles, I just thought it was really, really funny. And it was so unexpected. I saw him dropping the puck, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's Snoop, and he's dropping the P before the game, and that'll be funny. And then, you know, it turned out to be just the start of the night.
Yeah, if you can get Snoop in the booth, you're probably in for a good night, I would think. So,
yeah,
and you know, now this is going to happen everywhere he goes. People are going to be asking if he'll come in. And there's, in a way, I hope he never does it again. Now, this is it. It's exclusive. It's a one-off. Because the next time you're going to be like, all right, now he's putting it on.
So just before we get to hardcore hockey talk, if there is anybody out there that, outside of Snoop Dogg, you'd like to hear do a play-by-play, who would it be? Like just, you know, comedians or actors, like, would it be Trump?
That would be good. Trump would be spectacular.
I was the best hockey player, you know.
Yeah, his answers would be, nobody knows hockey more than me.
I'd like to do Chris Berman, just old school.
I for me, it'd be like Will Ferrell. Didn't Will Ferrell do some stuff with TSN in curling?
Yeah, he did when the second Anchorman was coming out.
Yeah.
But it's too put on there. Like, you know, like that's actually Snoop. Like, Will Ferrell, he would morph into Ron Burgundy.
He'd be
playing a character.
He was Anchorman, but yeah, you're right. Snoop was just Snoop, and he didn't care what people thought.
Why would he care? What does it matter to him? Anyway, Leafs, Avs tonight. And we've been discussing, you know, the game on Saturday night. We haven't really been teeing up the game a lot tonight. But obviously, Babcock did say earlier this morning that the Tavares line will get the MacKinnon line. And I think it's become abundantly clear, just based on their play, this is probably the way it should be happening. But as far as Babcock is concerned, if he's throwing one line over, if he can only play one line all night, it's the Tavares line. It's not the Matthews line. It's certainly not the Kadri line. And I think the way Tavares, Marner, and Hyman have been playing all year, they're probably deserving of that title right now. It's truly the number one line on this team.
Oh, I don't think there's really any debate about it. I mean, the Matthews line has been a revolving door for much of the year. And, you know, the two guys that are on it now, nobody would have bet any money that they would have been the two wingers at this point in the season, if you were going to bet on it, you know, in October. You know, the trick is going to be, you know, which one of those two lines can hold the puck in their possession long enough. Because if the Tavares line turns it over or if they don't hold it in the offensive zone enough that McKinnon starts from a standstill, they're going to be in trouble. Because if he gets to go through the middle of the ice, he's like he's shot out of a cannon. And that, I mean, you're looking at a team that's a one-line team, very, very top-heavy, and you've got to negate them as much as you can. Montreal did a really nice job the other night. They only had five shots on goal, and they end up shutting out the Avs. You know, can they do that again here? A lot of that will also fall on the D, and that's likely a lot of Gardner and Zaitsev, and they're, you know, not coming off the best of games on Saturday either. So they're the problem with them is you got to get right up in their face, and you got to try and take their ice away. And if you do it wrong, then all of a sudden they just, you know, they just blow right past you, and then you got troubles.
My Twitter mentions were cooking all weekend because of a tweet I sent out after the Leaf game where I just pointed out what I thought was a factual note that, you know, the Leafs have played three elite quote-unquote teams in the past month, and they're 0-3-0 against them, Tampa, Nashville, and Boston. And admittedly, there wasn't a lot of context or detail to it. It was just a fact. But, you know, when it comes to the Bruins, the underlying numbers are there for the Leafs. I think the overall talent, I would side with the Leafs, but the matchup seems to cause them problems. You know, based on the playoffs last year and I guess the season series this year, it's a one-off in January, but how do you feel about where we believe we're trending, where it's going to be Toronto-Boston in the first round, and just simply the matchup and how the Leafs are going to find a way to beat them?
Well, it seemed that the mistake, you know, the other night, the mistakes that were made, there was more of them that came from Toronto's end, more significant ones. You can say, yeah, Hutchinson was in goal, and, you know, that's not Freddie Anderson, and maybe he stops one of them at least. But, you know, don't forget Boston played earlier in, you know, without Patrice Bergeron, Colby Cave was centering their top line, right? Like, that. So it goes, that's just the ebbs and flow of a season. As far as a playoff series, somewhere they've got to be able to erase this, you know, confidence that the Bruins have when they're playing each other. The Bruins obviously feel like they can win all the time because they've won way too much. And Toronto's got to find a way to erase that. Maybe some of that will come in the form of a different look if Kyle Dubas makes a deal or two towards the deadline. Maybe it'll come from within that they get into that playoff series and, you know, they're playing really well. But until they find a way to crack the code, they always seem to be coming up, you know, one shot short, or, you know, they get pushed out of a game, or, you know, they spend a game running around trying to prove how tough they are. You know, those have been the last couple of games, right? They took a bunch of penalties up in Boston, and then here I thought they played good Saturday. They played really good, and then they make two turnovers, and they end up in the net, and 2-1 becomes 3-2, and they can't get anything back.
Ray, do you subscribe that? Now, I we were talking about this in the last hour. Like, the way their D is constructed right now, I don't see somebody who can shut down the cycle consistently. And I looked at Boston the other night. I know Chara's a different animal. You know, he's 45 years old, doesn't matter. But they had guys like Miller, Carlo. Like, they're heavier. They're a heavier team. And it may just be the matchup, but is that not what the Leafs are missing on the back end? It's not, you know, a guy who can't skate, a guy who, you know, is traditional stay-at-home defenseman, just plunk it off the glass. But it's somebody who has the ability to be tough to play against on that back end. Would that be something that you think could be a recipe for the Leafs to get to that next level, to push back against some heavier teams?
Well, I do, because, like, when you say about shut down a cycle, Babcock was talking this weekend about nobody shuts down the cycle better on our team than Zaitsev. And I was like, oh, you know, because he's not a big guy. He's got to do it with his, you know, with his feet, because he's not going to do it with, you know, with strength. And the right side of their defense is, you know, is not a championship side of a defense, right? Like, that's pretty obvious. Can they attack that? Can they improve it? It's going to depend on what they want to pay for it. And because none of their young guys are ready, and their young guys are no different than the guys they have, in the sense that they're not very big. So do you need big defense? I don't know, but it would be nice to have somebody that can put a full stop on a, on a cycle at some point, because it doesn't happen very often.
Ray, if you owned the Oilers or were the president of the Oilers, would you let the GM, apparently they're dying to get a forward now. Would you even let the GM go on this search? I mean, it's getting nuts out there.
Well, what I don't know. I mean, if he's your GM, I guess, you know, you let him do his job. And if you don't want to let him do his job, then you got to get rid of him. But what I would say is after being around this league for, you know, almost 30 years now, well, more than 30 years, not once have I ever seen a team state their desperation and then make a really good move.
Yeah.
We're dying for a forward. All the other teams
are
like,
I will
okay,
say this. I challenge that scoop by Rashog. I think it's ridiculous.
What is?
Like, if you
the
get,
details of it? What he's willing to give? What they're willing to give up?
No, yeah. But like, if it's coming to a media member, they've been doing it for 2 months.
So you're
like
challenging the timeline of
I'm challenging the timeline of it. I think it's ridiculous. They're going to come out and be like, okay, now we need a forward.
Okay, I'll grant you that, but the details of it would be more concerning to me.
Yeah.
Rashog said they're willing to give up a young developing player, a goaltender. I don't know who the hell that would be.
Right.
But the first round pick is terrifying for me if I'm in Edmonton because...
Well, but Brian, to interrupt, it's the goaltender's got to be Talbot. There is no market for Koskinen.
Yeah, it would have to be Talbot if it's a goaltender.
But who the hell wants him?
Yeah, like...
No, well, I don't know. I mean, there's...
The first-round pick holds a ton of weight. There will be teams throughout the league. If that's true, they're willing to give up a first-rounder unprotected.
Well, it depends on...
It depends on who it's for.
It may
either.
Not be. If it's someone
would you
with
trade
term,
a first rounder with, for a young player with term?
Depending on the player, yes, you can make sense of that.
Would you?
But
trade,
as I said off the,
if would you trade a first rounder for a guy like Burakovsky?
No way.
No, not Noodles. No. This could be a top. They
or
could
Verana.
No.
Well, I don't. Okay, but here's the thing. What would Washington do in a deal like this? They're a team that can compete for a Stanley Cup again.
Right.
They're not going to delete from their roster and not add anything.
No, you're right. I'm just throwing names out there. Like, I'm not, believe me, I'm not in the know whatsoever. Well, I'm just saying if there's guys with term that you can...
Okay, what about Tarasenko? So, if you're St. Louis, do you think, like I saw somebody tweeted, who says no? Yamamoto or Puljujarvi, Talbot, and a first rounder for Tarasenko? I'm like, St. Louis says no.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
no
are you kidding me? Like, not a chance.
Yeah, that would be that would be bad for St. Louis.
This is when you start getting into silly season about what about this, this, and this for that guy. And look, to get a difference maker is going to be costly. I don't know that the Oilers should be in the business of trading away their draft picks. I do know they shouldn't, but they boxed themselves into a corner here with Connor McDavid. That you got this phenomenal otherworldly talent and. There is some immediacy to not being a team that barely makes the playoffs or gets their teeth kicked in the first round,
right?
Because that's what they are. And I just don't see how you can be trading away your first pick.
Yeah, I totally agree. For me, it's deja vu. It's when they made that Griffin Reinhardt deal, they thought we got McDavid, we got to get going. And look what they handed out. Now, obviously, you would hope they wouldn't get the equivalent of a Reinhardt in return, but this quote-unquote arms race...
By the way,
for those
where the
wild,
hell is he?
He's not, I don't even know if he's on the continent.
He plays in the American League in Chicago.
He's nowhere close to the NHL, and I don't think he ever gets there. But if they're looking at the standings, which obviously they are, it is so deceptive chasing those wild card spots. Like, this is an arms race using BB guns. Like, these teams are terrible. Anaheim has not won in 11 games. They're still ahead of Edmonton. Like,
the only reason you're in a race is because they've been awful.
Exactly. And Colorado's come back to the pack, and Minnesota can't get going.
Right.
Like, Vancouver's ahead of Edmonton.
Yeah, but none of those teams, they're all, like I keep saying, they're all in the same boat.
They're all bad, though, Noodles.
Yeah.
That's great. Slide into the second wild card, and Winnipeg will blow your doors off in four.
You're right.
Hand over the 15th pick for whoever. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's not about that they can't maybe get in. They could. They're not going to do anything if they do get in.
I don't disagree with that sentiment. It's really the truth. But it's, you know, they've got to have what's better. And I'll pose this question to you guys. What's better, McDavid in the playoffs or McDavid out of the playoffs?
Who the hell knows? That's for the organization to decide. They have the best player in the world, and they're
right.
terrible.
And do something with it.
Well, but I would argue, get them to a championship caliber.
Right.
Which, is it playing four games in April or keeping a pick that could develop into a guy on his wing for the next 10 years?
We know four games in April are not guaranteed.
We talked about this a week ago. They're not good. They have three good players. Their goaltending's terrible. Their defense is terrible.
Actually, their defense may be just, like, not far off from the Leafs' defense.
This is not about the Leafs. This is about the Oilers. They're not good. If you were doing if somebody had to come in there and do a Shannon plan there, I don't even know where you'd start. Where would you start?
Without McDavid, they're Ottawa, in my opinion. Yeah. McDavid, they're Ottawa.
Where you would start is say, under no circumstance are we trading away a draft pick. That is not happening.
Well, maybe that's where it starts. Who's doing the drafting?
Well, you know what? I keep saying this. Everyone points to Chiarelli. I think it's the owner.
That's a part of it.
I think it starts, and Bob Nicholson was brought in to make sure it wasn't an old boys club. It seems like it's an old boys club there.
Well,
don't you think?
The results are the same.
Yep, I do.
I agree.
It's been that for a while, and the course has not been clear, and I've used this 100 times. The no plan plan never works.
Agreed.
It just doesn't work. When you change your direction, we're going to be this. No, we're going to be this. Oh, we're going to be this. You lose every time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
That's kind of where they're at.
Leafs Avs tonight on TSN 4. Looking forward to it, buddy. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. We'll talk to you then. See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.